Hello, good evening, and welcome to the T3 podcast, the hard time that George Michael wishes he was doing. On this week's show, Internet Explorer 9 puts Microsoft back on top. The Desire HD puts HTC back on top. Froyo puts the Galaxy S back on top. And new phones put Nokia... there are some new Nokia phones. As Ron DMC rightly pointed out, it's tricky to rock a rhyme that's right on time. The three people who have no such worries on that score are my co-hosts come guests on this sadly Dan-less podcast. Dan, for regular listeners, is the usual host of this podcast, and he's in a turkey this week. No, so he's in Turkey, so I misread that. Anyway, joining me this week are husky-voiced First Lady of Gadge, Ree Morgan, boy reporter Adam Bunker, and T3's resident sex thimble, Luke Peters. Welcome.
Thanks for that lovely Thanks for that lovely introduction.
That's brilliant.
Sorry, I've got a speech defect.
I've not been a boy for at least 6 months now.
I know, but you've got that kind of boyish aspect.
Charm.
Yeah. To you. Flame-haired boy reporter, Adam Bunker. Anyway, what are we talking about this week? Normally, at this point, again, for regular listeners, Dan will turn to me and say, what's been pissing on your chips this week, Duncan?
Or some amusing.
Some kind of similar.
Yeah,
what's,
way to
what's
say
been
that.
Kicking your duck
yeah.
in its throat this week? But obviously, as I'm having to stand in for him rather ineptly, as you can hear, I'm not going to say that. So has anything amusing happened to anyone this week?
What happened at the HTC launch this week?
Well, there was, yeah, I went to the HTC launch, which I'll talk about later. But the big news was, that's unfair to HTC. Nokia did try to sabotage the press conference.
Uh-huh. Sabotage?
Sabotage.
Bomb under the seat?
Not quite that, but close to it. It was a lunchbox.
Okay.
But first of all, for what they did, it was arrived, basically, let's set the scene. The HTC event was on the South Bank in London.
Uh-huh.
And you had to walk along the South Bank to arrive at the venue, which is in the place called Old Billingsgate, which we're having the T3 Awards. And all along the South Bank were these red balloons, huge red balloons. People walking along with red balloons. And on the balloons, it said, OviMaps, I know where I'm going. So as you arrived, you were instantly bombarded with OviMaps. And then outside the HTC press conference, in broad daylight, Nokia were giving away lunchboxes, which included a HTC dull ham and cheese.
Ham and tomato.
Tomato sandwich. They also had a big foam hand, like the gladiators used to have, which had Nokia on it in blue.
So basically, they're cussing up HTC by saying they're kind of dull.
Yeah.
With the sandwich.
Yeah.
They're basically assailing them with a sandwich-based symbolism.
Yeah.
And a big foam Nokia hand.
Yeah.
So, and an eye patch.
And 99 red balloons.
An eye patch. There might have been 99. I'm not sure.
Floating in the summer sky.
Mm. And what happened in the press conference?
Well, yeah, a guy did put his big foam hand up at the HTC conference and going, I've got a question.
Did he work for HTC?
Nokia hand.
What a joker.
Did he work for Nokia?
He's a journalist.
Was he
No, he's a journalist.
Because I thought somebody...
And then he got shouted at by the Nokia PR.
Shouted down.
Yeah, by going, well, that's unfair. You're right. Not Nokia PR, HTC PR, sorry.
It wasn't Tech Radar's Gareth Bee this
No,
was
it was not Tech Radar's Gareth Bee. No, some Russian guy.
Because I suppose the obvious next step would be to infiltrate the HTC thing with Nokia people having them all stand up going, why are your phones so rubbish?
Yeah, no, they didn't go that far. But basically,
why don't you give up making phones and just...
Everyone who arrived had these Nokia lunchboxes.
There we are. So that's Nokia waving their lunchbox in HTC's face.
Exactly.
Quite literally. How do you like them apples, HTC? Yeah. Not a lot, I'd imagine.
But I suppose there was two reasons. That Nokia World was going on down the road at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
And as we quietly didn't rightly point out in our Tech 100, that there's a new Nokia boss.
There's a new man in town. That's true, actually. So it's a bit like basically when there's a London derby or something.
Mm.
Or like, say, Cardiff City are playing in London. So you have two groups of very violent fans.
But the plot thickens.
They have to be separated. So the police were having them to separate Nokia and HTC.
But the plot thickens because then HTC then went back and said, oh, we're very flattered that the biggest mobile provider feels the need to sabotage our press conference.
Mm. Well,
it's good PR.
That's Nokia told.
Mm.
All right.
That
good
was
story. Good
was,
story.
I hope that was an amusing anecdote.
That was pretty amusing. Pretty amusing.
Thanks.
All right, pressing on. Top news this week, apart from that, has been Internet Explorer 9. Well, what can I say? It's been a slow news week. Adam, that launched yesterday, didn't it? And I believe you've had the good fortune of being the only person here who's played with it.
Yeah, they
tell us all about it.
They did like a daytime briefing.
I'm going to go for a coffee. No, go on.
They did a daytime briefing and then a special kind of launch event for the beta thing in the evening. I went to the thing in the day where they kind of just walked me through the new features and stuff.
Tell us about the new features. I believe it's...
It looks quite nice. As browsers go, they've kind of stripped it all back down to basics, and it's very Chrome-like.
I was going to say, word is that it looks exactly like Chrome.
I wouldn't say exactly like, but they've kind of taken their cue from Chrome's minimalist design.
A simpler... What I thought was quite funny was apparently it's got... like the Chrome's got a task manager thing, which kind of monitors what all your plugins and things are doing. There's a similar thing on this IE9. And identifies plugins and toolbars and things that are wrecking your browsing experience.
Yeah, there's little pop-ups that come up and say, some people will just click yes to everything and end up with 900 search bars from Yahoo and all that kind of stuff. It kind of picks them out and say, hey, this is wrecking your browser, get rid of it.
But no disrespect to Microsoft, the reason a lot of people will have a lot of those stupid plugins and pointless kind of toolbars and things is that one through to eight have spent the last decade... sort of pushing those things onto people.
Yeah.
So now there's now we have to get rid of all those.
But now they're kind of so into pushing Bing, they've kind of made that the main thrust of the searching. So I doubt they'll be as keen in future to stick all those extra things on. Right. Maybe. Right.
And did they talk about security? Because that's obviously been a massive thing with IE. Yeah. That's the reason I don't use anything by Microsoft, is because I'm worried that I'm just going to get invaded.
Yeah. Well,
they use my computer.
No, they've kind of up the ante a bit on that, and they now say they're the safest for malware, and they've redesigned all the warnings and rewritten all the warnings. They actually said something like, oh, we've made it in we've written it in plainer English or better English.
Okay.
So it pops up and it detects
it. You're really knackered now.
You basically go through two separate screens if you want to download something that says are you sure you want to do this? And you click yes, and you go, are you really sure you want to do this?
And then if it goes wrong, it goes, I told you so.
Yeah. And they said that it's three times safer than Firefox and five times safer than Chrome, apparently, for malware.
What does that mean? How do you quantify that?
Maybe they did tests and then 3 times out of 10.
3 times as many viruses penetrated Firefox. Bugger.
Maybe... they did tests.
Now, I have heard it said that it doesn't work on Windows XP.
Yes, it does not work on that at all, nor will it ever. They don't want to make anything backwards compatible, and they just keep saying we're... Because that's the thing they brought...
XP what?
Because Windows XP is still the world's most used operating system, I think I'm right in saying.
Yeah, but they're kind of pushing it alongside Windows 7, and... they've made IE9 look more in line with the way Windows 7 looks and works with all the pinning things on the taskbar and stuff. So they're just saying we're making it fit with
that. And that's really not going to work with XP.
No.
No, okay. So this is it's part of Microsoft's big reinvention, basically. It's kind of since Gates cleared off to an extent. It's I don't know. How successful do you feel its reinvention has been since Steve Ballmer's been completely in control? Because Bing has got... a lot of people seem to like it. I don't know anyone who uses it, but a lot of people say they like it. Windows 7 has been really well received. They seem to be getting rid of all the kind of fidgety sort of extra little bits and stripping stuff down.
And Windows Phone 7 is going to be great, I think, as well.
I hope so. I haven't seen it.
I saw a little sneaky preview of one of those in the wild in Berlin.
You have to chase it with a big net.
Yeah. And I caught it. And it looks really slick. If you looked at it and you didn't know it was a Microsoft product, you're like, that's not a Microsoft product.
I went and had a look. I really like it.
Knows what the departure of Gates has done to change the dynamic of the way Microsoft works and creates its products, but Windows 7 pisses on Vista. Windows 7 phones pisses on anything that's gone before it.
Yeah. Mm. As journalists, we always want to boil it down to personalities, but... Well, I guess we'll come to this later because the Tech 100 has just gone live. But Steve Ballmer seems, I think it's fair to say, a somewhat more straightforward, simple, let's get on with it kind of guy than Bill Gates.
He's quite ballsy as well, Steve Ballmer.
Ballsy Ballmer, I call him.
You must have seen his YouTube rant at some point.
Yes, I have. Yeah. And I've seen
him
at live.
Several times, actually.
Brilliant.
And two other fascinating bits of information about IE9 that I gleaned from you earlier, Adam, is that apparently... Microsoft are going big on HTML5, same as Apple.
Yeah, they're getting massively behind it. That's part of a lot of what their thing last night was.
So do they hate Adobe as well? Is this...
They didn't actually say what their stance is on Flash, really. They're testing it across all the kind of standards, but they were just keen to say, hey, we love HTML5, we love it.
They're animation agnostic.
And
very good. It's one of my favourite bands.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, yeah. Last night I was saying they've opened this new website called Beauty of the Web to kind of unveil everything they're doing with HTML5. And there are some nice little... They kind of think that with IE9 and with HTML5, people start designing new websites that are more... They look and feel more like apps than
more fluid,
websites.
More app-like. Yeah. The only HTML5 thing I've seen, I don't know about any of you, but the only thing I've seen is that Arcade Fire video. Mm. And in fact, as far as I'm aware, that's the only thing in existence
they showed
that uses
me,
HTML5. But
last night's thing showed off a lot of new websites from UK people, when, including the Gorillas who were there and somehow tied to it. But the thing I saw in the day was the kind of French equivalent of people mucking around with it.
Right.
And it was a really cool like comic book where you just...
It's like English people in the evening, yeah. French people during the day. That's,
I know, because I think the French people might have had their launch earlier on or something.
Is that because of the time gap? The big time gap between Britain and
the
France.
1 hour, yeah.
We'll just need to catch your Eurostar home.
Yeah.
But they showed me this comic book where you kind of move the mouse along and it's like animated. It's really hard to describe without actually seeing it, but it did look
Adam's
cool.
Adam's doing a lot of hand gestures.
A lot of like crazy...
But I mean, you
can't
go,
even
yeah.
picture it.
You can go and have a look at the Arcade Fire thing now, right?
Yeah.
It's a Google experiment.
I think you have to be on Chrome. I mean, maybe IE9 would also
I think,
be able to deal
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, because it's HTML5, so I guess IE9 is built for it.
Yeah, I mean, that HTML5 example is a good example of what you could do. I think it's pretty basic and it looks quite primitive, but it's quite cool. You basically tap in your address and then your street is in an Arcade Fire video.
The main thing I thought was like, it was like being bombarded with pop-ups in a way that I haven't experienced since I accidentally logged onto a porn site in about 1996, but that's... That could get kind of annoying, but yeah, I like the kind of fluidity of it. And the song was all right, I suppose.
So they showed a version of Amazon that was more like kind of, you know, the iBooks bookshelf.
Yeah.
It was like that in terms of they're saying websites will start being developed more like apps to use in a nice
way. Oh, that sounds
way.
Nice.
So they're copying what Apple are doing? Really?
Well, that was Amazon's own thing. That right, wasn't okay. That wasn't IE9. That was Amazon's developers.
So Amazon has developed a HTML5 site, or
yeah,
it's
it was
in
just
making.
Kind of experiment type thing.
There's a strong possibility that other manufacturers have looked at apps on the smartphone and gone, "Do you know what?
Yeah,
that's the easiest way to use a computer, and that's the easiest visual experience."
Yeah, that was,
we're gonna.
They were very much
do.
Saying the future web is not, you know, it's going to be a bit of a departure from the websites that you see at the moment, where it's going to be a lot more. Yeah, app-like, everything's going to be bigger and nicer to look
Sounds
at.
Exciting.
More visual.
Yeah.
I think there's one other thing which is even more exciting than all of this, which apparently, according to what you wrote, it has 60 frames per second browsing.
It sure
now,
does.
What does that
sure
mean?
Sure does. They showed me this thing.
Yes, it does.
They showed me this thing that had loads of
in
fish
French?
In a tank.
Right.
And it was basically a test,
fish tank.
A speed test.
Oh, is that what it says 60 FPS? Is it fish per second? Because I thought it was frames per second, but I could have been wrong.
No, they were saying, basically, they compared it to Chrome, and they had this little experiment with, like, virtual fish in a tank, and then it had, like, a bar showing the frames per second of the fish swimming around, and then they added more and more fish, and the new IE9 was kept up with the fish, and Chrome, like, dipped down to 15 frames per second.
And then
or something.
Were the fish, like, floating up to the front of the screen and going, IE9's definitely better than Chrome.
I don't remember.
Using Chrome.
Why would you use fish to show that?
That's conclusive, though. I'm going to stop using Chrome or Safari and start using IE9.
Just take your computer into
basis.
A fish tank.
Presumably there won't be a Mac version, will there? Did you find that out yesterday? Did you find that out, Adam?
Didn't find that out.
Reporter?
No, he's looking at the fish.
I was bamboozled by the fish.
I sent you out to do these jobs and you didn't.
It sounds like the most impressive thing, which was on old Windows 95, which was the fish screensaver. It's just an updated version of that.
Basically that, but you could have like 500 fish.
It's the best
mental.
Of old and new Microsoft.
Brilliant. They really
the fish
are.
We all know and love with the
exactly.
new simplicity.
Gates and Ballmer reunited.
It's fantastic. Fantastic news. All right. Well, that's very good. Thank you very much for that, then. Well, there's been a lot of other, well, a certain amount of other tech stuff that's been going on this month. And so it's with considerable trepidation that I say news. Samsung has hinted that the Galaxy S is to go supernova in a very real sense with the addition of Froyo. The powerful, if stupidly named, OS update will be coming to the device on September the 23rd.
In other Samsung news, the Galaxy Tab price has seemingly been leaked by an overzealous Amazon drone. The retailer has the iPad rival at a whopping £799. Surely that would be madness.
Surely! It's already got a few 3D games, but from September the 21st, the PS3 is going to play 3D Blu-rays, at least in Japan.
Japanese gamers got the nod at the Tokyo Game Show with SE CCA Network Operations VP Eric Lempel saying that many consumers now have a 3D TV or will buy one shortly. We admire optimism, Eric.
And new releases galore at this week's Nokia World Expo. The E7 is a work-orientated mobile with a QWERTY keyboard, 4 big inches of screen with clear black tech for easier viewing outside and an 8-meg camera. Oh, and Symbian Free.
Great.
Also on show were the C7 smartphone with 3.5 inches of raw AMOLED, 8 big megapixels of photo taking, and again, Symbian 3.
Get in.
The slightly smaller C6 promises a similar spec and over 11 hours of talk time, while the long-awaited N8 was seen flaunting his HDMI board and cooing Dolby surround sound into quivering ears. Again.
Into quivering ears, indeed. Why would you want surround sound on a phone?
That E7's got that as well.
Has it?
Mm.
So you can hear who's walking behind you.
I didn't get that far down the press release.
I love the fact that Nokia, we're still talking about hours of talk time.
Yeah, does anybody actually, I was going to say, do people take stock of how many hours of talk time their phone has? I couldn't tell you.
I was disappointed not to know how many hours of standby you get. I don't really buy a phone unless you get at least 300 hours of standby.
I want to leave it in my drawer for 6 months at least and know that it's still working.
Come and pick it up, find a text from my ex saying I'm coming to kill you. He does actually do that, that's a true story. Right, so what's next? There's the other thing that's happening. Twitter's had a redesign. Mm. Sorry, I don't mean it. It's probably been rolled out by the time you listen to this, but it hasn't probably when we're recording this. But it looks very exciting because there's now a little window where video can appear if somebody's linked to some videos. So pretty good. So we're going to log on to the exciting new look Twitter to see what you've been tweeting. Adam?
Yeah, Halo Reach came out this week. It's provoked a massive gaming log-on fest.
Lots of brand flakes, yeah.
But it's also the last in the series, according to Bungie. Golden Buns tweeted to declare, "Good riddance to Halo. Finally, maybe 360 fanboys will talk about something other than a mediocre, hype-generated franchise."
Ooh!
Golden Buns. That's Beckham.
Well, get him, stroke her.
Beckham's not up to much these days.
I don't know. I suppose he's pretty much semi-retired.
Times are hard.
Got nothing better to do than slag off 360 fanboys.
Is anyone here a Halo lover?
It was amazing.
It was the last game I played all the way through. Was Halo 1.
Yeah, that
dates me a bit.
That was the last Halo game I played. We had
massive though, the first one, wasn't it?
We had a little Facebook discussion on it today on the T3 Facebook page, and someone made the grave error of coming on and saying, you know, Halo sucks or whatever, and then suddenly there's a massive like 30 comment.
Halo forums mobilise. <Yeah.
laughs> Flame war. Flamed to death in a matter of seconds.
Oh my god, I cannot believe he said that. It's amazing to see something like Halo. I mean, I saw the trailer for it on TV, and it just reinforces the amount of money that's in gaming.
It's a wicked trailer, that, isn't it?
It's just so, you know, very cinematic, and compare that to sort of like a games advert of 10 years ago, and you wouldn't know this was a game you were playing.
Well, the first Halo seemed amazingly cinematic at the time. I wonder what it looks like now, probably kind of piffling by comparison. But it's always been more the plot and the kind of cinematic look of it that I've liked. Maybe more necessarily than the kind of gameplay, which seems to involve a lot of running up and down very similar-looking corridors, shooting sort of 5 or 6 enemies. Because I don't have any friends, so I don't play it online. I'm talking about the solo player game only.
Yeah, I haven't played any since the first one.
Don't want to piss on anyone's chips, but good trailer anyway. What have you got, Ray?
I've got a tweet from 147. Actually, she's got a double entry this week. Ooh. First... Don't say it.
It's Steve Davis. Yeah, sorry, I should have put that in brackets.
Sorry.
147 is Steve Davis. You see? See what he's done?
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. First, he tweeted, not texted, Duncan.
Oh, sorry.
Granddad. First, he texted.
He sent one of those tweet texts.
He sent a telegram.
Yeah. First, he tweeted to say, referent recent podcast, Amazon have buckets of money, $1 billion earned on $23 billion turnover.
Yeah, that's an example of why me and Dan should never open our mouths before checking our... Because we were...
Oh, you said you don't know how they make money.
Yeah, we didn't think it made a lot of money. And in fact, apparently it's the most market capitalized retailer in the world behind Walmart. So that shows what we know.
Oh, well... on a roll, he also added immediately after, referenced recent podcast, "Pigeonhole the Kinect much? Judge on its own merits. Looks fantastic and will improve. I'm a hoe." I don't know how to say that.
I think that's in my humble opinion, but We'll go with your initial interpretation.
I don't like acronyms. I can't, those kind of things like LOL and all. See, why do you say LOL and then not I'm a ho?
I wouldn't go around saying LOL. I'm a ho, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But
you can go around saying that if you want.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic and will improve I am a ho.
Sorry, Steve.
I don't know. I think you should have quit while he was ahead because I don't even know what pigeonhole the connect much means. But
I think because we just said people would find it difficult to kind of...
Well, I just said in the office we couldn't really work out how you could play it for games, use it for games other than, you know, kind of dancing
sports.
And get fit sort of ones.
I think that's what he means, pigeonhole it into just...
Oh, we shouldn't do that. Okay, we won't do that again, Steve. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Luke, what have you got?
TD Whiteside, brother of Norman, tweets... What? You know it's ridiculously difficult to find photos of you lot. It would be nice to put faces to your voices. High expectations for Dunk.
I know. There's loads of photos of me online.
You can go online.
It's your face that's on the podcast. Yeah. The podcast article.
Yeah.
He probably thinks that can't be Duncan.
I know. That's a bit worrying, isn't it? He probably thinks... Presumably Duncan's a lot more handsome than that because he sounds so authoritative on the podcast. So this must be some other guy. This must be Dan.
You look handsome.
Somebody tweeted in a couple of weeks ago to say I look like I just had a stroke.
Nice.
Yeah, but which I assume he meant the illness rather than literally somebody had just stroked me.
It's like handsome Dan.
I did. My eyes were a bit kind of half closed. Look of ecstasy. And anyway, finally, Mr. Johnny Jones say, I what? Can't read my own script. Sorry. Mr. Johnny Jones says, I wish T3.com would make their website more dialed, quite confusing to read articles, I find, too spaced out, etc. I just put that in because I thought it was quite funny. He was complaining
we're not dialed enough.
He didn't like the way the website was laid out.
What does dialed mean?
I have no idea.
I mean detailed, but it's not detailed. It can't be. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I thought,
Johnny Jones, get back in touch.
I just love complaints about how things are written that make absolutely no sense whatsoever. But we will try and sort out the lack of dialedness, Mr. Jones.
And the confusion
rest
in
assured,
the article.
Rest assured. So anyway, now, yes, Ree has the gadget of the week that I think we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, the gadget of the week is the HTC Desire HD, which was announced yesterday.
You were at the launch?
Yes, I was at the launch.
Waving your Nokia hand around?
Waving my Nokia hand around, holding the phone in my Nokia hand. But yeah, it looks pretty good. I like the original Desire, but
yeah.
It's basically...
Bigger?
Looks, yeah, I think it's a 4.5-inch screen. It's a 4.
An A4 screen, blimey, that's a whopper.
Yeah, it's a bigger screen.
4.3,
but the big news that I liked
4.3.
was 4.3. Thank
did you
I all. Get, did I say 4.5?
I don't know what you said, but you said 4, yeah.
Well, it's 4.3. It's
one of them.
As you were.
But the bigger news is the new HTC Sense, the HTC Sense 2, which will be on the new Desires, which is the Desire Z as well, which is the one with the keyboard. But they've got some cool new features with the maps, so still Google Maps, but thanks to the Sense, you can now download all the maps and save them on your handset for
download
free.
Download all of the maps?
Yeah.
For the entire country?
You can, yeah. And then
it's like a sat-nav.
Mm. And then
pretty
you
cool.
can
how
get
much
it.
Did they say how big
they're
that
free.
Is? Now, how big the file
no,
is?
No, they didn't say how big the file was.
Huge.
But because they said that when you're traveling and you're trying to get a signal on Google Maps, sometimes it lags.
Yeah, that's a brilliantly useful feature.
Yeah, so that was new. There's also, you can tag photos on Facebook before you upload them to Facebook. So you can tag your friends in your contacts books.
And then upload.
So they're
I think that's what
tagged.
We've all been waiting for. Pre-upload tagging.
On the mapping thing, I've got the TomTom Western Europe. So that's all of England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and most of Western Europe. And that's 1.2 gig for the whole lot.
Okay.
So
it's quite a lot, but it's not going to wreck your
doesn't
phone.
Doesn't sound like
by
it.
Having,
no, no,
quite a lot, but if you've got a decent size micro SD card anyway, that's pretty
good. Yeah, but the thing they were feature. Selling it as, that you could download maps for, say you go to France, download maps for that area, and then you can just, you don't need to pay, you know, imagine if you
data
use your
roaming,
phone in
yeah.
France.
Yeah, that would be ill-advised.
It would just be ridiculous.
So I understand the camera has had a bit of an update as well.
It has, yeah. The camera has had an update. It's now 8 megapixels, and it's got a dual... Flash.
A dual flash.
Yeah, not
they both go off at once. Or is,
I think. Yeah, I think that's the point.
They strobe light.
No, I don't think they
some
cause
kind
a strobe light. No,
gay nightclub.
No, definitely not. No, there's a dual flash on the Desire HD, but then there's a single flash on the Desire Z. And
yes, should mention the Desire Z actually. It's basically like an HD with a pull-out QWERTY, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. It's apparently they're saying it's an update, it's long-awaited update to the G1. Which is what I've got.
Yeah,
because
like that,
that's the only. Because in America, previous QWERTY.
In America, it's been sold as the G2.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because they've stopped doing QWERTYs, because this is the only one supporting QWERTY since the G1 in the UK. And it also.
Well, the HD suggests it might do HD video.
It does. 720p.
720p.
Yeah. 720p.
That's my kind of HD video.
It can shoot HD video.
Can it also show HD video?
Well, it's got a super LCD screen, which doesn't mean anything to show whether it's HD.
It's they've just simply taken LCD and put the word super in.
Yeah, they have. But the news there was because the old Desire had an AMOLED screen.
Yeah.
But do you remember they had problems getting it shipped? They didn't have enough of the screens, so now they've switched back to super LCD.
Well, there's also a bit of an element of you can't really see AMOLED screens outdoors as well, so I think that might have...
And that's important for the HD because it's also got an ebook reader in it.
There we are. So you're going to see that outdoors.
Exactly.
So what do you reckon, though? It's going to retail... It's going to sell for about the same as the Desire, but the Desire is still going to be available.
Yeah.
I mean, would you buy one? Adam, you've got one. I mean, you've got a Desire. Are you enthused at the prospect of upgrading or don't care? Or
I probably won't upgrade, but if I was... if I was buying a new phone for the first time, it's definitely, I think, looking as good as the new iPhone. It's a massive screen. I don't know why. I think 4.3-inch screen is a bit much because I think... I mean, the Desire has got 3.5 or something, and that's plenty big enough.
Yeah, but it felt like when you were watching it, you didn't go, oh my God, that is a massive screen. It felt like, oh, it felt natural to have a screen of that size.
Yeah.
All the photos I've seen where people are holding it in their hand, it does look a bit oversized.
Not as big as it's not, obviously not streak sized, but.
No, that really is ridiculous. But it's.
It does.
It initially looks a bit wrong. I don't know, but it's, I wouldn't say that's exactly a problem.
But when I had it didn't feel too big when I held it. It felt, I wouldn't mind having it in my pocket I wouldn't mind using it at all.
And you've got quite small hands.
I have got quite small hands.
The only thing that annoys me about it is on the Desire, the original one, you've got physical buttons underneath the screen. I think they've got rid of them for touch ones, haven't they?
Yeah.
And that, a lot of people I know complain about that.
Like on the Nexus One.
Because you can't see what you're doing in the dark and stuff. Yeah. And I just think that's a weird decision. I know it probably makes it look a lot more streamlined in terms of design. But
But I want the HTC Desire Z.
Yeah.
But that's exclusive to Vodafone, annoyingly.
And also, that's got a lesser processor than the original Desire.
What, the Z?
Yep.
Has it?
Yep.
This goes back to my pet theory about QWERTY keyboards.
Which is?
That girls like them, basically. Girls respond to QWERTY keyboards.
I think you're right. I know a lot of girls who don't want to get on board with touchscreen phones. Yeah.
And conversely, men
just be really general and kind of
just
sexist.
Just do a massive sweeping statement.
Well, let's do a straw poll. Like, do you like pull out QWERTY keyboards, Luke?
Nope.
And you're a man. QWERTY this keyboards, Adam?
Nope.
You're a man. I'm a man. QWERTY keyboards, no thank you. Ree, do you like pull out QWERTY keyboards?
Yes, I do.
And you're a woman. There we are. 100%
actually
supports for my theory.
I'll tell you what is good about slide out QWERTY keyboards is that on my Desire, I've got a Game Boy Advanced emulator, and it's
that'd be useful for that.
Really hard to use on such with like on screen buttons, but that is perfect.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
That's
you
exactly
want some
why
kind of
I
Bluetooth
like
Bluetooth accessory or something.
Did HTC say anything about was it going to supercharge any sort of apps or anything like that? Because that's obviously a huge thing in mobile land.
No.
Well, there we go.
No,
they didn't
well, the
there wasn't anything about because they didn't in the press conference. They didn't even talk. They didn't tell us what OS it was running.
Right.
There was nothing about the OS. And then afterwards, we had to ask what OS is it. And it's Froyo.
It is Froyo, right.
Because
they must have thought of holding up for Gingerbread or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, through the whole thing, we didn't know what OS it was. It could have been anything because, you know, they plastered it with HTC Sense. But no, they didn't mention anything about apps.
Well, it's still good to see that HTC are rolling out new stuff.
One good thing is they've got HTCSense.com, which is their new cloud offering. Which is good.
And what that stores all your contacts and photos and
everything
on your phone.
Yeah.
And is it micro SD that can go in there?
Yes, it is.
So that can go anything up to what, 64, don't?
32, I believe, with micro SD.
I think it is 64, but I can't be
in
sure.
In theory.
Oh, I could be completely wrong. Anyway. So what do you reckon? Yeah, a hit?
Yeah.
Sounds like we're saying a hit.
I'd say a hit, yes.
Excellent. Good
but,
work.
But you can check the full review on...
Oh, yeah, and you get well handsy with it on t3.com, don't you?
I do. Well handsy with it.
Well handsy.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a full brief.
Was that from Nokia's lunchbox?
Oh, no. Yeah.
So. Oh, that's really
disgusting. There's a hands-on. There's a hands-on with pictures already, but there'll be a video going up next week with Fantastic. Both the Desire HD and Z.
All right, brilliant. Well, that was an excellent gadget of the week. And last but by no means least, the new issue of T3, the magazine, is on the shelves. Luke, you edited it. What do you have to say about it?
It's brilliant. Absolutely fantastic.
It is quite a choice issue, I think.
It's our next-gen gaming special
yep.
of the year. So we look at all the new platforms, which are about this time they're all going to launch. So we've got Move and Kinect ready to drop. 3D, Sony 3D out in the next couple of months. So it's a big amalgamation of everything we've been hearing for the last few years in one tidy package.
Fully immersive gaming. Is that the expression we're using? Something like that.
For Kinect and the next generation of gaming.
Next generation.
Yeah.
It's pretty in-depth. Everything you need to know about gaming.
New BlackBerry Storm.
New BlackBerry Storm. I believe there's quite a large and prestigious feature about powerful people in the world of tech.
I was saving that to last time.
I believe. I think there's something along those lines.
I think you can explain this. Well, no, I'll give you the background. Every year, T3 runs its most influential. It spends a whole year gathering and watching people moving up and down the spectrum of influence. And then at this time every year, we will list the 100 most influential people in technology. It's not most powerful as such, but the people that influence in the UK market. And Duncan this year put it together, most finely, 100
yep.
people.
So if you want to hear basically me being acerbic about 100 people over the course of... how many bloody pages? It took such a long time to write. It's about 400 pages, basically, of in-depth analysis of the people who make the tech that you love.
Yeah, exactly. And who's number one?
Should we reveal who's number one?
No.
Who's number one? I can't even say it.
Well, they can get the magazine.
Go out and buy the bloody magazine yourself.
On the website.
It's also on t3.com. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Obviously, you have to buy the website. In that case, it's Steve Jobs.
Oh. That's spoiled that, then.
If you log on to t3.com, you can find out why we think that.
Why isn't it Justin Bieber?
Baby,
he's number two.
Baby.
But yeah, those and other questions will be answered in the magazine. But for now, this podcast is drawing to a close. Don't worry, Dan will be back from Turkey next week, unless some kind of nightmarish Midnight Express type scenario unfolds. And he has to be locked up with sexually ambivalent large Turkish men. Until then, we are T3, and you've been listening to our podcast.